Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. We are grateful for you to be with us on a Monday afternoon. There is quite a lot of hubbub going on in the state of Illinois. And as an Illinois resident, you know I talk about Illinois politics quite a bit. We're downstaters. I guess this is what upstate New Yorkers feel like. Maybe there are a lot of people in New Jersey, especially with their governor race about to come about, who are sick of their state going the way of the big city. Chicago's 65% of the population, Cook County is, of the state. So in Illinois, we're used to seeing our governor act a certain kind of way, but this is a little extra. What we've seen ICE come in to Broadview, we've seen ICE come into the state of Illinois in orders to get people here illegally out of the state, out of the country, just like it's been taking place everywhere else. But for some reason, these people have a very significant protected status in the state of Illinois, and it's coming to a boiling hot temperature right now. I want to bring Will Chamberlain in with us to talk about this. He's a senior counsel at the Article 3 Project on X at Will Chamberlain, a must follow, article3project.org. Will, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us today to talk about this issue.
Always good to be with you, Annie.
So I want to ask you to set the tone for us. Like, what do you want average people to understand about, you know, the federal government sends ICE in. ICE gets protested by the locals in the area there in the state of Illinois. To the extent that those protesters are taking vehicles and ramming them into federal property vehicles, and the federal agents call for local help. And what we have heard this weekend is that the chief of police there said, yeah, we're not going to help. Stand down. What does this mean to you, especially from a legal standpoint?
Well, from a legal standpoint, it makes it extremely difficult for the federal government to effectively enforce its laws in Chicago and in Portland, where something very similar is happening. Riots outside ICE facilities and a complete refusal from the local police department to provide any meaningful assistance to deal with lawlessness outside of those facilities. Because there's not actually a huge number of federal law enforcement officers whose job it is to protect federal facilities in particular. There's a specific agency in DHS that does that called the Federal Protective Service. They only have something in between 700 and 1,100 officers available to deploy for every federal facility in the country that DHS is responsible for. And so, for example, in Portland, over 100 officers of the Federal Protective Service have been detailed out there. That's 15% of the overall strength of the agency for one single building. And those people, in order to keep the federal staff protected, are working 12-hour shifts 7 days a week. They're working flat out. And this wouldn't be necessary if local authorities were dealing with the lawlessness on their streets, which they should be. But since they're not, basically, the real problem here is that there's just simply not enough resources currently in the government if you don't call in the National Guard to help bring in law and order. And so that's why it's so necessary. It's not about, oh, the military needs to occupy all of the city of Chicago. It's like, no, they really is. The federal law enforcement resources are strained because of the continuous lawless protests, riots, attacking of federal officers that is not being handled by local police at all.
So I've heard Mayor Johnson, Brandon Johnson of Chicago, 5% approval rating there in the city by his own electorate. Governor Pritzker, of course, who wants to be the president of the United States more than he wants anything, have said there's no problem here. We don't need any sort of federal law enforcement. Certainly don't need boots on the ground in the state of Illinois. We've got everything under control. Can they make that case that they can handle what's going on in the state of Illinois on their own? Does the federal government have the right to come in and say, you've had a shot at it, you do clearly have a problem on your hands, and we're going to take it from here?
So despite the fact that in Portland you have this district judge who said otherwise, the law is very clear on this, that the president has an enormous amount of authority to recruit and call into service the National Guard to protect federal officials and federal property if they're under threat. So it's really not the governor of Illinois' call to make. He should cooperate, but even if he doesn't, federal authorities will ultimately prevail here. And I think that the legal effort to try and stop this is going to fail. And you should understand, I mean, when you're really thinking about it, it's not merely, it's an absolutely contemptible legal stance to be taking, to on the one hand, refuse to deal with the lawlessness outside of these facilities where ICE agents are getting attacked, ICE agents are getting rammed, ICE agents even got shot at in the city of Chicago recently. So on the one hand, you're deciding, well, we're just not going to police that. We're just going to cede this to the domestic terrorist group Antifa. And on the other hand, when federal authorities say, okay, we're going to provide our own resources, we're going to recruit the National Guard, which is a federal institution at the end of the day. It's, you know, state has some control over it, but it's a federal institution. And these states are going to be like, no, you can't. You can't do that. So we're not going to protect you, and you can't protect yourself. I mean, everybody listening to this should be disgusted by that. As a person who believes that American law should be enforced, it's incipient rebellion against federal authority.
Ugh, amen to that. Will Chamberlain speaking with us right now, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, article3project.org, on X at Will Chamberlain. I want to bring this down to super basic level terms just so that people understand what we're all talking about, because there's a lot of layers of law enforcement and federal agents involved in this. You're talking about ICE. That is a federal agency. We're talking about National Guard. You know, that's from what I understand, nationally controlled, but there's also a state element to that as well. But this weekend, we heard that the reports that these agents were being surrounded by a mob of protesters. I think a riot was declared. They were surrounded. A vehicle came in and rammed their vehicle. They called in for help. They called the people who we call for help, the local police. And my understanding is the chief of police there said, we will not be participating in this. We're going to stand down. I've heard the call. What is your assessment of all these different layers of law enforcement and your thoughts specifically on what that chief of police did?
I mean, it's a horrible thing for a chief of police to do. I mean, they should be responding to any call where somebody is being attacked by a car, trying to, you know, essentially trapped. That's a crime of false imprisonment at a minimum, and also assault, you know, a vehicular assault, you know, attempting to run, you know, ram somebody with a car. It's a serious crime. The idea that you just wouldn't take that call because you don't like the victims, well, that's insane. And that's a violation of the civil rights of the officers in check. And honestly, I mean, if the state government is going to simply refuse and treat federal officials as though they're persona non grata, that they're in a state of exception with regard to the law, that the law applies to everybody, but it does not protect federal officials. I mean, it's hard not to say that that's a rebellion against federal authority by the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. Yeah. And what the consequences of that are substantial. And I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think there's any meaningful ability for them to resist federal authority lawfully at all. But I wouldn't be surprised if the consequences, the knock-on consequences for this are substantial. If there was a conspiracy among various state authorities to just simply refuse to extend the protection of law enforcement to ICE officials, that might be a RICO conspiracy. And a conspiracy against rights, which would lead to federal criminal charges against Brandon Johnson and J.B. Pritzker. I wouldn't be surprised.
I will lean into that one. Will Chamberlain speaking with us right now. So, you know, I'm thinking about that chief of police giving that order. It sounded like on the dispatcher's call, they like read it back to clarify, like, are you saying that no help is coming. And they're like, yes, those are our orders. I've heard a lot of reports. Emily Campagno specifically, who I know does a lot of police work, she's of course a lawyer as well, was talking about the difference between the rank and file police officers who do have to follow orders from that chief of police. I mean, do you have anything to say about that? Is the chief of police being a political figure and his orders, of course, have to be followed by those people within his jurisdiction?
Yeah, it's hard. I'm hesitant to speak on the sort of intricacy of what is the law in Illinois about the relative authority of the chief and police and their obligation to follow unlawful orders or follow orders that might be wrong. Because I know that in some cities, the mayors have an enormous amount of authority over the chief of police. The chief of police serves at the mayor's pleasure. So, you know, you actually have to go to the person who made the order there. And I don't know, they're not police officers, aren't lawyers, so they aren't bound by the same professional ethical obligations that, say, a lawyer was or a doctor is, that would force them to say no to an order that they don't think is wise or an order they think is unethical. But I mean, certainly if I were this chief of police, I would simply resign before I'd issue an order like follow an order like that. Like, oh, you're telling me to ignore a vehicular assault because because it's an ICE official? No, I resign.
Yeah.
And I'm going public with why I did that. So I think at the chief of police, I'm not going to go after line officers who follow the orders of their chief of police. I think that's crazy. But I think a chief of police is high enough up and with enough gravitas and stature that if he's willing to lead a department that treats ICE agents as beneath the protection of state law, well, that, you know, we're going to hold you accountable for that. That's a serious decision with real criminal consequences.
Yeah. And it's certainly not a slippery slope. That's a cliff. You can't come back from that. That is the end of the slippery slope that we saw this weekend with that call to stand down. Last question I have for you. We're speaking with Will Chamberlain. I'm curious about your thoughts on the resolve of the federal government, Homeland Security, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, to continue to pursue this. Of course, we're seeing the governor of Illinois. We've seen, of course, in Portland, Oregon, other of these blue states where they're putting this large effort in to try to send ICE in to remove those violent illegal immigrants from these communities. Do you see the pushback and the absolute rebuffing of all of these advances? Do you see that affecting in any way, shape or form what this administration is trying to do?
I'm extremely confident in the administration's will to enforce federal law from the top to bottom. You know, I follow Stephen Miller regularly. I talk with Harmeet Dhillon. I see what they're doing, and I'm confident that they're not going to let this slide. And it's really interesting how they are responding very quickly, exactly how I would want them to respond. We're immediately surging federal law enforcement resources, activating the National Guard, fighting aggressively to be able to bring the National Guard. They're currently complying with that court order in Portland, but I don't think that court order is long for this world. I think that's going to, I don't even think it's going to get to the Supreme Court. I think that court order is going to get reversed by the Ninth Circuit. They're doing what they need to do. And at the end of the day, I mean, the story of our country is that when states and local governments try and defeat and defy federal law to protect local domestic terrorists, they lose. That's the story of our country. It is very much on brand for the Democratic Party to try and protect local terrorist organizations from federal law enforcement. That's the story of the pre-Civil War era. That's the story of the Ku Klux Klan. And that's going to be the story here. They will lose. We will win.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
True distinction of this administration, in my experience of watching these types of things, is that they are unfettered The more pushback, the more they double down. And it's the question keeps coming up. Is this what you voted for? And it's like, hell yes, this is what I voted for.
Yeah, there's nothing more instant. You know, I don't know if you remember watched Instant Karma, those videos that used to come up where somebody commits a crime and is instantly arrested,
yeah.
Right? And those are incredibly satisfying to watch. They raise morale because it's just the immediacy of how dare you with justice brought to bear. And
yeah.
So I think that's what you're starting to see. Like, there's a great video yesterday of some Antifa guy spitting on an ICE official important and instantly getting taken down and arrested for it. And you're like, great, yeah. Wonderful, exactly what I voted for.
You know, you said the word karma, and that's a great word for it, but it's really just simply what's fair. People want to mm-hmm. live in a world that's fair, and we're getting back to that, and I'm grateful for it. Will, you're always a voice of clarity. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Bye-bye. Will Chamberlain is a senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, and we're always grateful to have him on here as we muddy through these issues that, of course, on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, the administration and all the detractors, there is a lot of pushback on in the legal space, and boy, am I not an expert on that, but I know experts, and I'm always grateful that they give you the time to come talk to you on this show. Quick break. When we come back, we'll get Ryan back in here. He's going to have the Monday roundup for Wiggins America in about 12 minutes or so, but we'll get to the YouTube live chat poll. When we come back, we're asking you today, have you been affected by the government shutdown? Yes or no? We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.